As your musicians play and we just hold the emblems in our hands, they speak of what Jesus has done for us. They speak of God's love. God so loved the world He gave His only Son. So they really speak of God's love. I love a verse in 1 John 3:1. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." It's just saying, just try to understand how much He loves you. He called you His children. Jesus came and He died for us. And that reflects just how much He loves us, how much we are worth to Him, how much our relationship with Him, how important that is. Because what He's prepared to pay actually puts value and belonging to us. So just be thankful today and just share your heart with Him and just invite Him to be all that you need. You know, nothing compares to Him. Nothing compares to Him. He knows what we need. He knows what we love. You know, many of the desires that He's put in our heart, He's the one who put them there. And so it's not like, oh, well, if I surrender to Jesus, then I'm going to have to give up everything I enjoy. Or if I surrender to Jesus, He's going to make my life so hard. I mean, that's the thinking sometimes we have, because the enemy, he lies. He really doesn't want us to experience life with Jesus. He really doesn't want us to experience the fullness of God's plan. You know, I've said it before, I don't know that he hates us. I just think he hates God so much that he just doesn't want God's heart to experience the delight of us just enjoying relationship and intimacy with him. And so he does everything to try and distance us from God or give us a wrong idea of what God wants for us. And he makes us think that God's intentions for us are not good. I've said it over and over, but I just think that's such a plan of the enemy. You know, sometimes I think he realizes he can't rob us from faith entirely, but what he wants to do is just minimize our faith, minimize our relationship, minimize our trust, do whatever he can do to get in the way of us experiencing everything that God has. Because he knows that God's heart, it would just be so delighted, God's heart so longs for those that he loves, those he created, to just walk with him every day and to be led by him and to hear his voice. You know, and we so often he sows this seed or this lie that, well, if you follow God, he's going to make you not do this and not do that, and you won't be allowed to do this and all that. There's things that God leads us away from because he knows they're destructive and harmful in our life and in the lives of others. There are things that God invites us to do and asks us to be obedient about, but that's just because he knows that that's the way. If we walk in that way, then we're going to experience everything that he has for us in the best way possible. And you can tell my passion this morning. I just feel so much he just wants you to get that. And my words don't seem adequate. And that's why while I'm speaking, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts in a way that my words can't. Holy Spirit, let us see. Let us see your heart. Let us get a glimpse this morning of what you want for us. You're not just there making huge demands upon us, but you're there just, you've got so much more for us than what we often see for ourselves. And at times it's adventurous and at times it's risky, but Lord, we just want to come to that place where we trust you enough to surrender our life and be able to just say with confidence and with joy, "Here I am, Lord, here I am. Nothing this world has to offer compares to you. I know there's a lot of good things in the world. There's a lot of things that seem attractive in the world. I know that. I'm not silly. I live in the world too. And I realize there are things that are so tempting, so attractive. There are things that just we can enjoy for a season and they can be good and they can be joyful, but they're not the best. They're not the best." We used to have a young adults camp that we used to have for a few years, and it was just called Best is Better. And it was really just calling young adults out and saying, "You know what, young adults, this is a good season of life for you. You can enjoy your life. There's lots of great things, lots of new adventures when you're in that season of your life. But you know what? You can settle for less than God's best. Why don't you go for the best?" And so we would challenge them and we'd say to them, "Best is better. Not just good, but best is better." And I just feel that to challenge you today, but from the youngest to the oldest, I feel even moved for some of us who are, you know, like I don't know how you say it, but you know how we're in our second half of our years, you know? And yet, there's so much for us. There's so much that God has for us. Don't rest. Don't rest in the wrong way. You know, rest in God, but don't rest in the wrong way. Yes, get your sleep. Just in case I'm getting confused, have your sleep and have. You don't have to do what you did when you were 20. But, you know, we've got life experience. We've got something to give. So don't just keep asking God, what do you want for me? What have you got for me? And then the young ones, like right from the very young ones, you know, don't just enjoy the new season of life that you might be in or the things that the adventure of being young and whatever else. But hey, just say, God, I want to go for your best. I want to go for your best. And many of the desires, many of the things that God's put in your heart, He put there deliberately. He formed them. So He's not going to say, no, every single desire you have, every single thing that you enjoy doing, every hobby that you love, every interest that you have, everything that you're good at, now you've got to lay it on the altar and just follow me, you're going to have a miserable life. That's absolutely opposite to what He's saying to you this morning. The gifts and talents that He's put within you, sometimes we have to learn how to give them to Him and not just kind of find our identity in those things. And so there's a process sometimes where we've got to maybe let go of them for a moment and give them to Him so that they don't become the limiting factor of our life. Instead, what they become is they become the enhancing thing in our life. You know, many, many in the room, all of us in the room have gifts and talents. Some are more obvious than others, but every one of us has something that God wants us to bring. And I think I've said a fair bit, but you know, I'm just trying to convey His heart. What I feel He really wants us to get a hold of this morning. Sometimes, you know, we have thoughts about opportunities or things that are before us and we say, no, I don't do that. Or no, I'm not good at that. No, I tried that once or no, that's not me. Sometimes that's exactly right, but other times that's just the hindering. That's the hindering response. That's the plateau. That's the closed door to something that could be a new open door or an adventure for you. Don't close doors and then bolt them shut when God is wanting to at the right time open those doors for us. Trust Him and say, Lord, I'm yours. What do you want me to hear that I've not been hearing? What do you want me to, how do you want me to respond to things maybe that I've just been saying, nah, that's not me, or I can't do that, or whatever. Just say, Lord, here I am, you know me, I trust you, you won't take me to where I can't go. You won't make me sort of do things that are going to shame me or whatever. You know my heart, Lord, I trust you. So here I am, Lord, here I am. Show me. Let me know it's you. Can we come to that place this morning? Can we come to that place? It's up to you. And you don't have to understand how that's going to look, and you might even be a bit frightened about that. But why don't you say to Him, I'm a bit frightened about this. Why don't you say that to Him? I'm a bit frightened about this, Lord, but you're not a God of fear. You haven't given me a spirit of fear. You give me a spirit of power and love and sound mind. You might say, well, I've tried it before and people have hurt me. Absolutely. That happens. People do hurt us. But God will not hurt you. God will help you forgive. God will help you find freedom. God will help you find healing. God will help you be able to rise above the hurts and not let that hinder you from His very best in your life. So can you just say whatever you can say to Him this morning. Here I am, Lord, here I am. It might mean that once you say that, you might want to have a conversation with someone you trust and say, well, I kind of really felt like God was speaking to me and I needed to say to Him, here I am, but I don't know how that's going to look and I'm a bit nervous about that. Could you help me? Could you help me process that? Could you pray with me? It's really great to do that sort of journey with someone you trust. So if you're a wife, talk to your husband. If your husband, talk to your wife. If you're a son or a daughter, talk to your parents. If you're not just a friend, if you're a good friend and you're journeying with great friends, well, I tell you, talk to a friend. Talk to someone you trust. Talk to someone that God has put in your life and say, this is what I surrendered this morning in a special way. God was doing something. Can you help me just process that? Can you help me move forward with that? And I, for one, would be delighted to have that conversation with you. Others here would be as well. God gifts people, doesn't He? In our family and in our world and in our church family, He gifts people to help you do that. It's interesting, I'm not talking in a very calculated way, but it so fits a little bit of what I want to share. And I've just had a really short passage I wanted to share with you, and it really fits that. I just realized it kind of really fits that. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So just when you're ready, if you haven't already, just partake and just say what you need to say to God this morning and then follow it through. Talk to God more. Ask Him to show you. Talk to someone who can encourage you and journey with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just partake and we'll sing again. If anyone wants to pray a prayer out loud, I'll just give a moment for that. If you want to pray a prayer out loud, even just a personal prayer, just say thanks to the Lord, or something you feel God's put on your heart to pray or to share, just feel free to speak up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've already been saying to us. Thank you for what you want to say through your word this morning. Lord, also as we just celebrate, Lord, the way that you've been leading us and your provision. Father, we just love you. We thank you that you love us first. And we love you, Lord. That's our heart. Our heart is to just serve you and to follow you and find your heart for us individually, but find your heart for us, Lord, as a church family as well, within our community and into the places where you take us. Lord, we just want to bring, Lord, your love, bring your truth. Lord, bring your heart. Lord, bring your transformation. Bring your wholeness. Bring the message of the gospel, Lord, to every life and to every heart. Father, we pray for the children this morning. Lord, for the kids in Kids Church and in the creche, for the workers and the leaders that help to sow into their lives and to build a foundation and a understanding of who you are and what you want. We pray that revelation, Lord, would just penetrate their hearts today, and that they would be strengthened and they would be encouraged, Lord, as they begin this exciting journey, this adventure of life with you. Thank you for that today. Thank you for that today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Well done. That was great. Appreciate it. These boxes, as Glenys mentioned, we really appreciate the job that Glenys has done over many years with the shoe boxes. And a good number go out from a combined effort with our churches and community. And these boxes here are 80 boxes that two 80-year-olds or 80-something-year-olds did. So I should tell them, I suppose, I just had that thought that maybe when they're 100, they need to do 100 boxes, don't you think? Like we need to tell them one extra every year or something like that. But there's a lot of other boxes I know in the bookshop, and others have got some prepared to bring. And so it's a joint effort. And not everybody could do that, can you? Like, the ladies who did these, they've got time on their hands, and so they just start at the beginning. They're already starting next year's now, you know what I mean? So that's what happens. Isn't that great? So we can't all do that. So I don't say that to make us all feel like we've got to do 80, but isn't it great? Like that's we find what is ours to do, and we just do that, and we do it with love, and we do it with grace. And what we'll do next Sunday, because I think next Sunday's our last opportunity, and then the week after they go. So next Sunday we'll try and, we usually get the kids before they go to just take a box each, and we just pray over the boxes. But one of the ladies, when she delivered the boxes here on Friday, just said to me, I pray over every box, you know, as I'm doing them. I pray over every box then and believe that just something will go with every box. And so that's beautiful, isn't it? That's the heart. Like, she's not just doing stuff, but she's doing something that she feels has got great significance in the kingdom. And she wanted to know. I had to chase up Glenys then and there, wanted to know, where are the boxes going? And I was more than happy to do that, say where they were going, and so that could be, so she could be thinking about that. That was what she wanted to do, wanted to be able to picture them going and picture the children receiving them. And so that's really great. All right, so I'm just going to be very quick. I've been doing a series on go-to chapters. And can anyone tell me at least one of the ones that I've gone to already? Hopefully we can do one. I'll just risk it. Can you tell me one of the chapters that we've gone to? Philippians 4. Thanks, Drake. So I knew I could count it. Philippians 4. We point out a couple of verses in Philippians 4. It's just one of those go-to chapters, isn't it? For many people who, if you've been in faith for a while, then you would have been blessed by that chapter many times. Any others that you can remember? I'm just happy you remembered one, so I'm fine now. But if there's any others that you can remember? We didn't do Romans 8, but that's a good one. And you can do that one. Now, Romans 8 is a popular one, isn't it? All right, we did Philippians 1 as well. We looked at that. And then last time I looked at, I said I gave you a really good value for money last time because I gave you John 14, 15, 16. I said, so often I'd kind of refer to it in the message. Oh, you know, John 14, 15, 16 says this. So last week we actually dug in and we looked at John 14, 15, 16. Not a whole expository message, which you're thankful about, I know. But, you know, just the verses it talked about. I won't leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the helper to come. The trouble is with a series like this is that I've got so many now of the books and the verses and the passages that have, you know, been go-to passages and verses for me, and I just that there's a kind of quite a few that I could go to now as I think about it. And you too could have ones that you go to. I think I shared, I'm not sure if I did share or not last time, but I was down at Toloka on our last visit to Toloka with a few people, and Ian did a few songs. Others were there with us and as a team, and then I was just going to do a 5-minute quick message in the middle of the songs. So Ian picked his songs out, and then I thought, well, yep, towards the end I'll do my 5-minute talk, and I've just felt to share on one of my go-to verses, which was Psalm 46:1. God is a refuge, my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Can't tell you how many times I've just reminded myself of that verse, or I've brought it into my situation, or even more, just as equally as much, when I'm praying for someone, that verse comes to mind, and I think here's a great verse to share with you. You know, that he's a very present help in times of trouble. So I was thinking, oh yep, I'll share that after the next song. And Ian picked out, I Go to the Rock of My Salvation. We do a lot of our older songs. And so Ian had no idea what he was going to talk about. And he sings, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I go to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Who knows that song? Show us your age. Yeah, if you remember that song, you've probably been around for a while, okay? Mountain says by me. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And as he's singing that, I'm thinking, I'm going to talk about a go-to verse and how good that was. But isn't he the go-to person? He's the go-to one. And so the scripture is his word. And really, when we go to the word, we're going to him. Is that right? So if nothing else, you know, it doesn't matter that you don't remember which ones are my go-to chapters, but what is important is that we grab the idea of having go-to chapters, having go-to verses, having a go-to friend like Jesus who we can go to and trust when we need to. And having go-to friends around us as well is really important. So Joshua 1 is where I want to go today. I'm going to have to pick up on this and continue it later, so I'll just bring out one point on this, and then what we'll do is we'll finish the main part of our service, and I'd like to just share, lead you through our AGM, explain that when we get to it, won't take too long, and then we can have some fellowship together and a coffee this morning. You look forward to that, I'm sure. So Joshua chapter 1, I want to read through to I think about verse 13. I'll just read and see how we go, and then I'll just bring out mainly one point that I just want to bring out of this that I think does fit in with what we've been talking about and how God's been speaking to us already this morning. Is that all right? How are you going? You okay out there? All right. And so I know I don't explain it every single week, but we have the camera there because what we do is some of our folk can't make it along on the Sunday, and so what we do is we just stream it, so there's people there watching. I'm not sure how many, but they're people from our church family. So we don't actually make it public. We just share it with our church family. So if you're on our church family Facebook page, if you're not and would like to be, if you don't like Facebook, that's absolutely fine. I get that. If you're on Facebook but you haven't known how to connect with our church family page, if you're really desperate, talk to me. If you want really clear answers, talk to Jeremy or Mel and they'll really help you, and others here that are smarter than me and will help you to do that. But jump on and be part of what we share on our church family page. But we're streaming this onto the church family page so you can actually watch it later, or if you've missed a Sunday, you can actually go back on our church family page and watch previous Sundays messages. Alrighty, so just to let you know that's available, and hello to whoever's might be watching this morning. So Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying. So this is Joshua. We're talking about Joshua. He's described here in the New King James Version as Moses' assistant. God is speaking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. As I'm reading through, I've got a bit of scribble, you know, on this passage. And then I've got a few marked, highlighted in yellow, and a few highlighted in pink. Because, you know, they're different verses. One's underlined in black ink. But that last verse, verse 5, I've got highlighted in yellow and a bit of black ink and a big asterisk out the side. If you could see my Bible here, it says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, and to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them, to their fathers to give them. And I've got one big black circle like this with my pen. I hope you don't mind me describing my Bible to you. But one big black circle, and it's in that verse where it says, divide as an inheritance. Because what I think is so beautiful about what Joshua is being invited into is he's being invited into God's plan to bring God's people into an inheritance. And oftentimes, I hope this is not presumptuous, if you know my heart as I share this, but when I think about what God has given me the privilege of doing and serving in the local church all these years, and just to do what he's called me to do, I see the thing that's most exciting about it is about that I get the opportunity to divide as an inheritance his promise to his people. So I get to, even today as I stand here, what I'm getting to do, as I was going on before quite emotionally, what I get to do is to call you into something, to do my part. God's done it, like, you know, but what he's given me the opportunity was to help to divide the inheritance for you, to help you let you know what your inheritance is, and to encourage you to take it up, to walk into it. Do you know what I mean? And isn't that a privilege? Like, it's not that I get to preach. It's not that I, I won't say it. Because sometimes that's the hardest part. I love it when I get to preach, but sometimes thinking about preaching and preparing about preaching, and these days we have other preachers that really help, and it's great because it gives us a good variety and it gives us a good healthy mix of preachers, and it's great. But more than that, it actually, the weeks I'm not preaching, I seem to be just that little bit more relaxed, you know, through the week. It's not that I don't like to preach. It's not that I don't feel that I'm called to that, but what I'm loving is that, you know, I get to do other stuff apart from just preach and just do this and do that. Like, here's your job. It's that I get to be involved somehow as best as I can with all the clumsiness that comes with that sometimes, is I get to have the opportunity to encourage people, to invite people, to shout in the right way, cheer for people into what God has for them. Come on, guys. You know, into God's promise. Come on, guys. Into what God has for you. Not what I have for you, but what God has for you. And so that's what I get to do. Anyway, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't it a great passage? Isn't it a great passage? How many times has he said, be strong and of good courage? Can anyone tell me? Can anyone tell me? Three. And it's interesting, like I always find in this chapter, it's interesting that he doesn't say, pray for strength and courage. What does he say? Be strong and of good courage. Now, does that mean you do it on your own? No, it just means that he's already given you everything that you need to be strong and courageous in doing what he's given you to do. It's not being strong and courageous in every good idea that you get, you know, that you want to be presumptuous about. But what he's saying is you can be strong and courageous if you know what he's given you to do, if you're unpacking that. And it's not like you get it all in one go, do you? Like it's an unfolding thing, isn't it? Understanding his will and where he's leading you and what he wants for you. Sometimes that you get a clear bit and then it gets confusing and you have to just wait and be patient and let him take you through what he wants to take you through. But there's this sense of he's already given you what you need to be strong and courageous, and so he's telling you, be strong and be courageous. And he gives you good reason. He says, I'm with you because I've gone before you, because no one will be able to stand against you, because these are all the things that are in this chapter. And we'll come back and visit some of those another time. But I'll read the next few verses, make one point, and then we'll finish up. Alrighty? Is that alright? You trust me? Ian, trust me. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, so here he is, he's got to divide an inheritance, and now he's being encouraged by God to be strong and courageous. And so now, verse 10, this is what Joshua did with that. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the Lord, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. See, rest and moving forward can actually be in the same sentence, can't they? Rest is not in activity, but rest and moving forward, trusting God, can be in the same sentence. The thing I really wanted to bring out, perhaps as a point today, is that as we look at this season in Joshua's life, he's been someone who's been an assistant to Moses. And now what's happening is God is saying, right, now it's your turn. Now it's all there for you. I've done this and I've done this and I've put things in place. Now what we have to realize is that previously, we don't have time to go back and look at it, but in Numbers 13, 14, we see where Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies, two of the 12 spies that went into have a look at this land that has been promised. And they were told to go in ahead of time and have a look at the land and see if it's a land flowing with milk and honey and see what's there. And where they were told to go was actually the place where they found giants. They went to where they were told to go, and where they went to, they found giants there. So they were meant to see the giants. They were meant to see the land flowing with milk and honey as had been promised, but they were meant to see the giants. And then they were meant to come back and say, well, God has given us the promise. God has said we can go in. Yes, there's giants there, but this is like he promised, so we're going to go in and take it. If you read that later, it'll give you good context to what's happening now. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two. It says in that passage, it says that they had a different spirit in them. And they came back and they said, well, there's giants there, but we are, this is what you'll read if you read through that chapter, those couple of chapters, you'll find where they say, but we are well able to go in and to possess the land. And the 10 others said, don't be stupid, no way. And then they said things like, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. If you read it in the New King James Version, you'll see that language. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but no, there's giants there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and no, we can't do it, and don't be stupid, Joshua and Caleb, because this is just too hard for us. And what happened was they did a bit of wandering, didn't they, for a bunch of years, because they didn't go in and take possession of the land that had been promised to them. But Joshua and Caleb, Joshua was told, because you have a different spirit, that you will get to possess the land. So here he is. Now his time has come. This is like pretty exciting for him, really, isn't it? But also pretty daunting, because this is no easy task that he's been called up to go from being the assistant there to Moses to suddenly be entrusted with a huge responsibility. But the exciting thing was that he's going to get to finally bring them into the inheritance that he'd already seen a glimpse of before, but just, you know, the people around him didn't have the faith to go in and to do it. So what's one of the first things he does? One of the first things he does is he just starts to spread the word around the camp, and he begins to say to his leaders and then to the people in the camp, "Well, get ready, get prepared. In 3 days we're going in." I mean, how exciting would that be? Can you get a picture of what it would have been like for him? He's waited so long, and finally he's now got the opportunity not only to go in himself, but to take people with him. And that's what I love about it. He wasn't saying, "Oh, what's in this for me?" He was really, what was exciting for him was that he was going to possess it, but he was going to have the opportunity of helping the people of God possess it too. It wasn't just about him, but it was about who he was going to take with him into this land. So isn't that exciting? And there was that 3 days of preparation. And I just want to say this as I finish, that God does have seasons for us. And sometimes we have to be patient, but we have to trust his promise. And we've got to take hold of what he said, but look for his season, look for his timing. And then there's a time of preparation. Here, you know, it's not just 3 days that they've been preparing. It's been a long time. But now, here's the 3 days. Get ready, pack your bags. Get ready, because 3 days, we're going in. You know, so there's that preparation. You know, I just scribbled down in my notes here, as I think about this, I think about my own story, you know, where God prepared me. I left boarding school. Boarding school in itself, there were things about that that I don't have time to go into that were preparation itself for leadership and what God had in mind for me. I was a shy country boy, as those who may have knew me back then sort of know. But God just gave me what I need, and he began to put things together, and then he took me into the bank, and in the bank he got me used to dealing with customers, and then he got me used to helping people with their financial affairs, you know, as a loans officer and doing other things with people, helping them with their personal affairs, and he got me used to doing that. And then he took me into the council for a season, and he got me used to just being amongst people that were leading the community and how that affects our community and all that happens. And so there was that preparation time, which at the time I would not be aware of. What am I doing here, you know, in the bank? What am I doing here in the council? But, you know, as you go through, you think, "God, you're preparing me for something. Lord, what are you doing for me in this season?" And that's what I'm saying to you today. You might say, "Why am I where I am right now?" But if you will just see God's hand and God's fingerprint in what's happening in your life, if you're in the wrong place, then obviously there's some adjustments that needed, and he'll help you with that. But if you're in the right place, he'll show you, "Hey, I'm preparing. It's all right. You just rest there. I'm preparing you. This is a season, but I'm preparing you." And you'll see later that what I'm doing now will actually be really helpful in the future. So you look at David. David's a shepherd boy, learning an instrument. I don't know about you, but you don't learn an instrument in 1 minute, do you? You've got to be learning that instrument for a long time. What was it that ultimately got him into the king's palace was that, hey, there's a shepherd boy. He plays beautiful music. The king's a bit depressed. Let's bring that shepherd boy in, get him to play the music because it might help the king. It got him there because he learned to play beautiful music. He learned to mind the sheep, and so that prepared him for when he had to face a giant. All those things were all preparation, weren't they, for what happened in his life. Even his brothers rejecting him actually was preparation, I think. You know, all the brothers were the obvious ones that were going to be anointed as king by Samuel, and they said, "Oh, is there any more?" "Yeah, but it's David. He's just a shepherd boy. What do you want him for?" "Nah, bring him too. Yeah, this is the one we're looking for." Even the process sometimes of going through rejection, even sometimes the process of being hurt, no one deliberately hurts. God doesn't bring hurt deliberately. But when I say no one, some people do deliberately hurt, but God doesn't deliberately hurt, all right? But what happens is God will use that then, and he'll even use that as preparation so that you know, if people like me or people don't like me, it doesn't really matter. I can keep going because what happens? God's taught you something. He's prepared you. He's readied you. And even David, I can see that David, when they didn't call him, and then finally when they called him, he could have said, "Well, no, you didn't call me." You know, he said, no, "What do you want me to do?" And then he turns up. And even processing that sense of rejection or whatever made him feel like it's not about him, but it's about what God's got for him that was important at that time. I don't know if you get that. Nehemiah, well, what happened was he was just the wine taster for the king, wasn't he? And what happened was in that environment, he learned how to be a leader, and then he became a great leader. Moses, Moses, what unusual circumstances. Moses was abandoned by his mum because she loved him too much to risk his life, so she actually had to release him and let him go and put him in the basket. I mean, you think, what mum would do that? Well, the mum that loves the boy enough to not see him die and would prefer him to be raised with somebody else than actually be killed, you know, so she loves him enough. That's how the love of a mum, isn't it? It's so profound. And so what does she do? She puts him in the basket. But then what happens? God's got it all under control, because he ends up in Pharaoh's house with his mum looking after him. And so he's learning how to be a leader. He's learning how to prepare his life for the future, because that's how he became big enough to be able to do what God had for him in the future. Now, it wasn't easy. It was a struggle still. What, me? How can I do this? He ran away, didn't he, from it for a while? But God was preparing him, and God's preparing you for something if you'll just trust him with it. Esther, you know, she was born for such a time as this. What happened? She learned to be around leadership, around the king. She learned to be devoted to God. And so through the course of that, she became someone who at the right time was able to be brave and to be able to speak up to the king, and it was a powerful outcome. I could go through many, many more. Timothy, but I'll save that one for later, because I've got a passage in Timothy that I was going to show how it's so parallel to what happened to Joshua, what happened in Timothy's life later on. So we're going to leave it there, and hopefully that's helpful. And we'll leave it there for this morning. Father, thank you so much that you have a plan for us. And again, I know my passionate words are not enough, but Lord, I believe this morning, and I ask you this morning, that your Holy Spirit would just take your word, take the life of Joshua and the life of all those other people that you ordered their life, and they were imperfect people, and they made mistakes, and they got fearful, and they wanted to run, and they doubted your plan, but somehow through it all, they made it into the chapter on faith, because they were obedient, because they let you lead them, because they allowed you to outwork your plan and purpose for their life. Give us a passion, Lord. Give us a passion. I pray that when we leave this place today, that, Lord, we won't be able to shake off what you're stirring in our hearts, and that we won't settle for less than your best, but Lord, there'll be something that will stir in us to want to venture forth, to be able to trust you and to be strong and courageous, because you've put everything in place that is a source of strength and courage for us. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for not only being with us today, but you're with us every day. When we leave this place, you're still with us. Your Spirit is still with us, Lord. For those who may be just searching for you or just getting to know you, I pray, Lord, you'll open the door today, that you will open the door today. Just if there's anyone this morning and you know about God, maybe you've respected God, but you've never actually opened your heart to a relationship with God, as I've spoken of today, you mightn't get it all, but you know something stirring inside of you that says, I want to open my heart to God. I want to find God's best for my life. If there's someone today and for the first time you just want to receive Jesus and accept him into your life and become, I guess, open your life to God's salvation, his forgiveness, his love, the promise of heaven, but also the journey that he wants to take you on. If that's you today, just while every head's bowed and everyone's praying, would you just let me know that you're thinking that today? If you've never really made that decision or prayed that prayer, would you just put your hand up and just let me know that you'd like to pursue that, you'd like to be open to that? Anyone? Okay. Father, thank you. And thank you for the rest of us, Lord, who have been on the journey, some a short time, some a long time. Lord, let us rise to your best. Stir in our hearts what you want for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, it's always a little hard to sort of transition straight from a service. We always love our song at the end and all that, don't we? Which we might do anyway in a minute. But we find the best time to hold our AGM. It's what we need to do to just be accountable to you and to present to you a summary of our finances and just who our office bearers are. They're the two main things that we need to present to you each year. Because we haven't been able to do that earlier in the year, we normally would do it early in the year for the year 2018-2019, so it's a long time ago. We're doing it for the financial year 2018-2019, so we can be fairly brief. And what will happen is in a couple of months' time, we'll be ready to do the next one, and we will take a bit more time with that. But we will put up there a summary of some of our financial information. Have a quick look at that. If you want those printouts or you want that sent to you, we can send that to you, and we're absolutely happy for anyone who wants to look at it in more detail to do that. We actually take that as being interested and being, you know, having some ownership rather than checking up on us. We really want you to see it. But we'll be quick today because not everybody wants to see all the details and have it all explained. But we will quickly give you an overview of our finances, and then we'll present to you who our office bearers are, you know, for the next 12 months. Okay, we just confirm that to you. And so first thing we'll do is we'll have the minutes of our... actually, I'll just pray, and then we'll have the minutes of our last meeting. We'll just kind of give you that in... there's not a lot of minutes, so it'll be pretty quick to read out. And then we'll ask someone to move and to accept those minutes. Now, just this is a good opportunity for me as well to tell you that we do have opportunity for becoming a member of the church. Now, not many take that up. We probably have about 31, I think, members at the moment. We mention it from time to time and whatever. But the reality is we don't treat people any different, whether you're a member or not. But it is good if you really are committed to being involved in the church here. It helps to strengthen the church by becoming a member. And if you'd like to do that, just talk to Mel or myself, and we've got the form there that you fill out, very simple, and then the oversight then approve, and you can become a member. So if you know, just want to make everyone aware of that, and it's there for you, and the invitation is given to you. When I ask to move and second, I really need someone who is a member to move or to second, and I know sort of who they are and whatever, and then we just all vote. And look, everyone can vote. We're all part of this together. If I, for example, haven't had to do it for 50 years, but if we had to, say, vote and count votes, then what would happen is the registered members, the official members, would then be called on to do that. But we don't very often need to do that, or we've never had to do that, and so we just count everyone's as voting and supporting what we're doing and whatever. Okay, so that's how we approach it. So you might think, well, I'm not a member, or I'm a visitor or whatever. Hey, that's fine. You know, you're part of what we're doing today. So I'll just pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our group of churches together in this region. Thank you for what you're doing in our community through partnership with the wider church community. Thank you for the provision. And Lord, in the provision of our finances, we just see your hand so beautifully there. We thank you for the generosity, Lord, of people who give and contribute to various parts of our work, both the church, the support of ministry, and our missions work and other things that we are involved in together. Father, we thank you for every person who has given, and we ask you to continue to provide and to bless them. As we share today, Lord, may we be inspired and encouraged by what we get to share together. In Jesus' name, amen.